Our Old Testament lesson today is from 1 Kings 17, selected verses. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink." As she was going to bring it, he called out to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a little jar and oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elisha said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, this jar of meal will not be emptied and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, so that she, as well as he and her household, ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill. His illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. She then said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." But he said to her, "Give me your son." He took him from her bosom, carried him up into the upper chamber where he was lodging, and laid him on his own bed. He cried out to the Lord, "O Lord my God, why have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I am staying by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried out to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let this child's life come into him again." The Lord listened to the voice of Elijah. The life of the child came into him again, and he revived. Elijah took the child, brought him down from the upper chamber into the house, and gave him to his mother. Then Elijah said, "See, your son is alive." So the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth is truth." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So today, we have an Old Testament story with an Easter theme. Hope is rising. The dead are being raised to life, and with God, all things are possible. Yet, maybe we are still surprised, especially with an Old Testament story we probably haven't thought of in forever, or may have forgotten ever even happened. Of course, we're not as surprised when these things happen with Jesus. From the very beginning of his ministry, Jesus tells us to be on the lookout. He says the blind will receive their sight, the lame will walk, the deaf will hear, the poor will receive good news, and the dead will be raised. But stories like this in the Old Testament may catch us off guard. These stories seem so ancient to us, so much of another time and era, don't they? And so maybe we ask, what are we supposed to do with this in our own life and faith? Perhaps it helps to remember that the Old Testament looks ahead. It anticipates complete peace and reconciliation, all made possible by God's steadfast covenant love. Yes, hope is rising for the widows, hope is rising for the dead, and hope is rising for all of us. Until this week, I had not fully appreciated the significance of this story being at the very beginning of Elijah's ministry. Certainly, it sets the tone for a hopeful future, even amidst all the many difficulties that are about to unfold. Elijah, forerunner of John the Baptist and Jesus, Elijah, prophet of prophets, the one who along with Moses is present for the transfiguration of Jesus, who affirms the identity and mission of God's Son. The dynamic relationship that is possible between God and humans shines forth in Elijah. Now here, Elijah has arrived on the scene as the kingdom of Israel is in disarray, during one of the most dangerous and corrupt kings of Israel ever, King Ahab, along with his notorious queen Jezebel. Yet the true and good character of God shines forth in both of these resurrection stories today, both Old Testament and New Testament. Both stories affirm God's compassion. Both stories affirm the responsiveness of God to human need. Both stories affirm God's power over disease and death. Now, no doubt Elijah comes into a very desperate situation. The widow in Sidon is preparing her last meal so that she and her son may eat it and die. Now, how dramatic is that? As promised, the meal and oil remain plentiful, and things are looking up. But then a terrible and unexpected crisis unfolds. The son dies. This is a devastating turn of events, not only for his mother in her personal grief and sorrow that she must be experiencing, but as a woman during this time, her very future is now in jeopardy. At first, the widow blames Elijah. I can't help but wonder if Elijah, too, is bewildered, wondering how could this possibly be part of the plan? Maybe he wanted to ask, Lord, how could you bring us this far just to let the child die? In any event, as Elijah springs into action, he defies convention. He risks becoming ritually unclean by stretching out his whole body over the child. Not once, not twice, but three times, calling out to God for help. The Lord hears and responds to his plea. The woman also responds as life emerges. She is changed. She has new belief and trust, not only in Elijah, but in God's word. The parallels in our gospel story are so similar. It's almost a one-to-one correspondence. Jesus sees the need. He has great compassion. He speaks to the woman. He joins the funeral procession. Jesus risks ritual uncleanness by touching the bier, telling the young man to rise up. Jesus just has to say the word, touching the edge of the bier. The crowds offer testimony, glorifying God and giving thanks for God's presence. God has visited his people, they say. Now, it's worth noting that Jesus uses this very Old Testament story with Elijah as a teaching illustration in his own ministry, very early in his ministry. Remember how the crowds are somewhat impressed with him, but remain a little skeptical, saying, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" They challenge him. They want him to perform a miracle to prove himself. Jesus remarks on their attitude and lack of faith, saying, "But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when there was a severe famine over all the land, yet Elijah was sent to none of them except a widow in Sidon." The crowds become so enraged with this rebuke that they want to throw him off of a cliff. So what are we to make of all of this? What does it teach us about our skepticism, our present day life and faith together? For one thing, it reminds us that keeping the faith keeps hope alive for ourselves and for others. And even though having faith, even a robust faith, may not produce the exact result we want in prayer, it can change our perspective. It can help us see things in a new light. It can keep us centered in God, in God's will, God's way, and in ways that bring Easter joy even amidst the difficulties of life. Plus, consider how both of these stories shine light on God's character and God's authority to do something good in our lives. The youth sang a beautiful anthem this morning about God's goodness. This gives us hope. God desires good for us and for all of creation. And in Christ does all that is necessary for us to enjoy this goodness, to have life, new life. Dr. Martin Luther King once said that the long arc of history bends toward justice. I think we might add that the long arc of God's history also bends toward life. Consider how also these stories highlight that living and dynamic relationship between God and humans. The Lord sees. The Lord cares, the Lord hears, the Lord responds. We respond in faith and in trust. And consider that God invites us to participate in this life-giving kingdom work. Stories like this inspire us to participate in the work, keeping hope alive for ourselves and others. Many of you are enjoying the Masters Golf Tournament this week. Last year's champion, McIlroy, seems to be on a good path for this year. We'll see what today brings. I know what happened yesterday. Ken and I recently watched a couple shows that trace McIlroy's journey from childhood to present day. And of course, in the interview, McIlroy was asked about his long drought of not winning the Masters until just last year. McIlroy responds by saying this, "Never give up on your dreams. It is never going to be easy and straightforward. It is always going to be a little messy, but we persevere." He concluded by saying that he was proud that he did not lose hope. He did not lose hope. Now, a couple of us were talking about this very thing the other day, naming for each other how easy it is to lose hope, to become discouraged. I mean, I imagine all of us wrestle with the state of things in our world, broken people, broken systems. So we reminded each other how our actions can embody God's goodness, can embody God's love, can affect change, offering a counter-narrative to the things that weigh us down. Now, few of us can stretch out our bodies over one another and literally breathe new life into one another, yet we can breathe new life into people and circumstances by a variety of other means. We can speak a word of encouragement. We can act with integrity. We can offer a caring word or visit, a home-cooked meal, a basket of hope. We can offer a word of welcome and hospitality. We can build, rebuild homes. We can help each other with our school stuff, serve with children in ministry. Hope may even look like a group of people coming together to solve a problem and find a creative solution, assuming the best in one another as together we work out our differences. I have two emails from this congregation just from this last week where beautiful stories are being shared that represent hope and healing, where new life was breathed into people and circumstances. This is the kind of thing that God does through people. Now, these stories may not be quite as dramatic as our stories today, yet they are life-giving and they are vitally important to the persons involved. There are a million different ways to serve and be present for one another, working out God's goodness in the ordinary and everyday moments. We are, yes, Emily, we are an Easter people, and let us live that way all year long. Thanks be to God.